All right, ladies, good morning. I'm so happy to introduce Linda Graham, my friend and your friend, who's going to do the lecture for today on the Good Shepherd. Linda has devoted a lot of time this week to careful and prayerful preparation, and I'm excited to know what the Lord has placed on her heart. I'm going to pray for Linda and then turn the microphone over to her. So y'all pray with me. Father, I thank you for this sweet, godly friend. Father, thank you that you moved Linda here from California and for the joy and the blessing that her family has been to my family. I love this woman like a sister. I'm grateful for the gifts and the talents that you have poured into her. I'm grateful that she has put her hands to this plow and is willing to do the study and the effort and put in the time to invest to present to us today what you have placed on her heart. God, I just want to pray for Linda. I want to pray that as she opens her mouth, that your words will be on her tongue. I pray that you would stir up her heart and mind to remember what you have taught her this week, that her teaching today would not be one of fear or anxiety, that you would let all that evaporate. And in its place, just let her joy in you and her enabling of you take over. I pray blessing over my friend, and I pray that our hearts would be expectant with the lesson that you have for each of us in what you have given her today. Would you just bless her and bless us as we listen? In the sweet name of our Lord Jesus, I pray. Amen.
Thank you.
You know the real reason I'm doing this, right? So we all would appreciate her a little bit more, right? She does such a great job, and I don't know if y'all know, but I know it takes 24 hours a week to prepare for this little lesson. So every week she's putting 24 hours a week. So as you pray in the morning, and you know, we all laugh because it takes us 6 hours a week, and we're going, oh, I'm so busy, I didn't get my study done. Think about what she's doing and pray for her, because she takes on the helm of this all the time. And I just thank God for you, Laura. I really do. I know what it takes. We've had this conversation. I mean it. Let's give God the glory. Thank you, Jesus. I come from Hume Lake Christian Camps. I wasn't even going to do this, so sorry. But Hume Lake is one of the largest Christian camps in the world. It was a very large ministry that we came from. We do camps, well, Hume there, any day in the summertime, has 4,000 people on the grounds. They also have a camp in New England. Then they would take missionary camps, so we call it Human in a Box, and they would take it to Thailand, Papua New Guinea, Germany, Japan, all these places over the world, and they would take camp for who? Missionary kids and military kids. Who? Missionary kids sometimes are just expected to buck up and come along with parents, and sometimes no one was supportive to them, the great gospel, and time to retreat. Well, this last week, we had something amazing. Well, 2 weeks ago, I guess, we were interviewing a young woman to come work at Camp Siloam. And at Camp Siloam, I said, have you ever been to a Christian camp? Because you're an MK. She'd been to a Hume camp in Thailand. Imagine that. I was amazed. So I've seen some of the best speakers. I mean, before they were, we had them. Francis Chan was one of our high school speakers before he was the Francis Chan we know today. And I tell you, Laura is at that caliber. She is at the caliber of some of the greatest women speakers of this country. Pray for her, appreciate her, and pray for her protection, because if she is that great doing this wonderful ministry here in Siloam, God, you know, God has to protect her, because don't think the enemy is not going after it. So I say that in love and honor to what you do, Laura. I mean it. I say it to her all the time, and I know she thinks I'm really just being nice, but I'm not. I'm not really that nice. She's amazing. Before we get really started, I wanted to show you the picture of the young women. These young women are the volunteers from the Radiant Retreat that you all worked at. These young women are college students from all over the state of Arkansas, and they came and served. And this just touches my heart so much, because they served willingly. They spent their gas money. These are kids that have no money. They spent their gas money to volunteer at the camp so that the Radiant Retreat would be successful for the young women that came from all over this region. Here in Siloam, you guys have the secret that you don't even know about. Girls came from Texas, they came from Kansas, they came from Missouri, they came from Arkansas, they came from all over to hear about Jesus. It was such a great success. Oh, I just don't even know how to tell you what your work did for them. And it wasn't just the girls that your work did for them. You know, lives were saved. But we talked about things. We talked about the things. You know what the number one breakout session was? Filled up first, before art, before paintball. The number one was about broken families and blended families. That was our breakout session. We talked about it out there. You know, I was leading a counselor weekend on this weekend. A counselor seminar. And one of the counselors looked and said, how do we share with these girls what we don't truly believe? I can't believe I'm enrobed by the great I am. There's a work going on over here. And I need your prayer. We need your prayer because God's doing miracles. He's doing transforming. He's amazing. So thank you for your work you did. Thank you for your prayers. We're under spiritual attack over there all the time. But God is going to do a great work. So I just wanted to share with you with these girls because we do love them so much. And I had to do my spot. Those are my kids. That's my son, Robbie. He's still working on his testimony. Not a believer yet, but it's coming. That's my Anna Lynn, the one that some of you have heard me talk about. By a miracle of God, she moved here 2 weeks ago. 2 weeks ago. There's our Lizzie's in the back. And she came, and actually before I met Laura, Lizzie met Lydia and became great friends. And because of some of their health backgrounds, it's been something that God did for us, and it's answered a prayer. And of course, my Aspen Rose, that's my youngest. Had to give you that one. Just had to give you that one. Okay, there's my mountain man. Before we start the Bible study, I just got to give you a little background. Before I do that, I just got to share because you all don't know me yet. I have familial tremors, so when I shake, don't worry about it. It's a family thing. We all got it. So I hate having to say it, but I have to say it because it's part of who I am. But I want to tell you about this man because he's my dad. And when I was a kid, he would tell me about his best friend. My dad grew up in those mountains, and that's one of the best pictures I have of those mountains, in Colorado. He grew up in Manassas, Colorado. And he was born and raised in the Great Depression time, you know, when everybody was working hard. And when he was 12 years old, his best friend, Gail Smith, who if you ever, I don't know why I didn't wear it today, but if you ever see me wear turquoise, Gail made it. Gail was a shepherd. Gail was a shepherd. And he would go to the high mountains, which is about 12,000 feet, with his family sheep for the entire summer. And so my dad would always tell me about this growing up. He'd tell me about how he'd take his horse and his rifle and 2 weeks' supply every other week up to Gail. And can you imagine being 12 and being responsible for your family sheep? I mean, that's what the money of your family's pocket. He was a young man. You know, I don't know if you fully sometimes understand how big a shepherd's job is. When I think of a shepherd, you know, I come from the High Sierras. Where I lived was in the mountains. We had deer on our front porch. Not deer, bears on our front porch. I have walked to work in the morning and passed a bear many times. And so you give them respect. I certainly would not be walking with 2 weeks of food and supplies with a horse and a rifle. When somebody is walking through the highlands or the lowlands of the meadows and things like that, the wild animals are real, and a shepherd really is dealing with all those things. But also, it's not just the wild animals. Like we think of wolves, the outcasts of society, and the robbers are also usually in the mountains. They hide out and hang out. So shepherds don't just deal with animals. They deal with a lot of crazy things. And so Dad would tell us as kids about how Gail would always make sure that he had a safe meadow and then how he had fresh water for the sheep. And he said, you know, Gail was serious. He wasn't messing around when he did this. They would walk it, and Dad would help them walk it, and they'd check out a few meadows because you had to move around and keep things going. And Gail was dependent on my dad. His life depended on my dad bringing him his supplies every other week. I mean, I can't imagine taking off on a horse with a rifle and supplies and just riding to find your friends. So when I think of a shepherd, I think of a man who is really attending to his family's resources, essentially, that he has to be trustworthy. This is his family duty. This is not like a job you do for somebody else to make spend money. It is your duty to take care of the sheep. So with this in mind, as we think about the shepherd, would you please stand as we read John 10? We're going to start with verse 7. Therefore, Jesus said again, "Very truly I tell you, I am the gate for the sheep. All who have come before me are thieves and robbers, but the sheep have not listened to them. I am the gate. Whoever enters through me will be saved. They will come in and go out and find pasture.
The thief comes only to steal and kill and destroy. I have come that they may have life and have it to the full. I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd lays down his life for the sheep. The hired hand is not the shepherd and does not own the sheep. So when he sees the wolf coming, he abandons the sheep and runs away. Then the wolf attacks the flock and scatters it. The man runs away because he is a hired hand and cares nothing for the sheep. I am the good shepherd. I know my sheep, and my sheep know me, just as the Father knows me, and I know the Father. And I lay down my life for the sheep. I have other sheep that are not of the sheep pen. I must bring them also. They too will listen to my voice, and there will be one flock and one shepherd. The reason my Father loves me is that I lay down my life, only to take it up again. No one takes it from me, but I lay it down with my own accord. I have authority to lay it down and authority to take it up again. This command I received from my Father. The Jews who heard these words were again divided. Many of them said, he's demon-possessed, raving mad. Why listen to him? But others said, these are not the sayings of a man possessed by a demon. Can a demon open the eyes of the blind? Then the festival of dedication at Jerusalem. It was winter, and Jesus was in the temple court, walking in Solomon's colonnade. The Jews who were there gathered around him, saying, how long will you keep us in suspense? If you are the Messiah, tell us plainly. Ladies, thank you for standing for God's word. It truly is a gift, isn't it? So think about this, and think about how we read the 23rd Psalm. After Jesus compared himself to the good shepherd, the door of the sheep's pen. The shepherd is at the door so no one can enter, and only his sheep can go in or out at his direction. Only the sheep under the shepherd can go in and out of the pen at the shepherd's will. Now that doesn't give you a sense of satisfaction, but doesn't it give you a sense of wonder? Is this Jesus that guards the pen's doors for his sheep? Is this the Jesus that guards the doors of heaven? Think about it. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He maketh me lie down in green pastures. He leadeth me beside still waters. He restoreth my soul. He leadeth me in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me. Thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. Thou preparest a table before me in the presence of mine enemies. Thou anointest my head with oil, my cup runneth over. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will be in the house of the Lord forever. Wow. Strong, good shepherd. So we go back now to John, and you go back to, you were talking about verse 24. Does Jesus declare who he is? You know, doesn't it crack you up that they keep saying these things? Because Jesus now, he's getting bold. You know, it's one of his last times. He's speaking publicly. We're getting ready for the triumphal entry. He's clear. He's clear. But here's the question. All the time, does Jesus declare who he is? Why do we hear that all the time? You know, I love how Laura says that Jesus isn't a, he's not a wimp. He's a manly man. Let's be honest. He does claim his deity. It is not his good works that they want him to stone him for. It's because he's already been claiming to be God. He has just healed a man that's been born blind. You know, this is big. He healed a man born blind. It's never been done before. So they think they've got Jesus in the corner, but who has who in the corner now? Jesus has them in the corner, doesn't he? And this issue of my sheep hear my voice, you know, I go back to thinking of when Dad would talk about how Gail had this whistle. And this little song, you know, like these little sing songs that he would do. And how Gail's sheep would just follow him wherever he would go. And how sweet it was. I mean, Dad talked about it. It's almost a sweetness of how much they would just, wherever Gail went, they followed. And because he spent all his time with them. That's what he did. Well, Jesus spends his time with us. And Jesus, he knows. He does declare his deity. Jesus says he'll lay his life down for his sheep. Can you imagine what this meant to them? He was like face to face. You know how when you're really face to face going at it with somebody? Jesus was there. He was in the conversation.
And he's at that point declaring he's the Messiah. He even assures them in verse 24, I did tell you, but you did not believe. The works I do in my Father's name testify about me. But you did not believe, because you're not my sheep. I think we know what's going on, and they know who he claimed to be. I mean, aren't we still going through it? We were talking about our table this morning. Aren't we still going through it where people say, is Jesus really the Christ? I mean, really? Is that who he is? Did he really say it? He didn't really say it, did he? Well, let's get ready, ladies, because this is Jesus. The seven I am declarations of Jesus. Why? Because he did say it. He said who he is. In John 6:35, I am the bread of life. Jesus, that's our food. John 8:12, I am the light of the world. He's our guy. John 10:9, I am the gate, our entryway to heaven and eternal life. John 10:11, I am the good shepherd. He's our guide. He takes care of us, not only in physical, but spiritual needs. John 11:25, I am the resurrection and the life, he says. He's what we need in this world, and he's what we need in the world to come. He is our overcomer. In John 14:6, I am the way, the truth, and the life. The only way to salvation and honestly eternal life is through Jesus. And then we get to John 15:5. I am the vine and you are the branches. We can do nothing without him that has any eternal value. Ladies, as we study John, remember these snippets of what he's teaching us, because this is good food for us. When you wrap your mind around this and you wrap your mind around Psalm 23 and understanding the shepherd's role, we also have to remember, which I'm the chief of forgetting, shepherds are not sheep. I know it sounds funny, but a shepherd is not a sheep. And sometimes we kind of put them into this our level of understanding or our way of thinking. But not only is he's not a sheep, he's not a hired hand either. You know, the boss didn't hire him to do the job. So he's not going to run. But he's also kind of, when he's talking about this, he's talking about those pokes at the Pharisees, because he's saying, I'm the good shepherd and will not, like a hired man, run, right? But what do you think those Pharisees are thinking? Man, he is stepping on our toes. This is getting a little close to home. Even though he came as a man, he wasn't man. He knew who he was, and he had created his people with his word. Let's go back to it. Sorry. I don't do this recorded thing very often, so I forget to have these written. John 1. I love this. In the beginning was the Word was with God. Remember when we studied all this? He was with God in the beginning. All things were created through him. And apart from him, not one thing was created. Life was in him, and that life was the light of men. The light shines in the darkness, if darkness did not overcome it. Isn't this amazing? He came to his own people, did not receive him. But to all who did receive him, he gave them the right to be the children of God. To those who believed in his name, who were born not of blood, but or the will of the flesh, or the will of man, but of God. The Word became flesh. He took residence among us. We observed his glory, the glory as the one and only Son from the Father, full of grace and truth. It's so hard to even wrap my mind around who our Jesus is. And at the end of chapter 10, remember when Jesus went back, when he eluded them, which to me still doesn't, I don't know how he eluded them. You think, here's this person with all of them, and then he's gone. And Jesus went back across the Jordan to that place where John had been baptizing and stayed with the people, and they said, though John never performed a sign, all that John said about this man was true. And at that place, many believed in Jesus. Don't you love it that his sheep listen to his voice? He knows them and they follow him. We have confidence that Jesus is a good shepherd. And even though trouble comes, and trouble does come for all of us, he is our good shepherd. And, you know, we don't want to pretend like that's not part of the walk with the shepherd. You know, for whatever reason, you know, 2 Corinthians, it says, for our present troubles are small and won't last long, yet they produce for us a glory that vastly outweighs them and will last forever. There's some heavy troubles going on in here. I'm not making light of trouble.
But we know who our shepherd is, and we got to cling to that. And coming through holidays, we want to cling to who our good shepherd is. I'm going to speak fast because I want to tell you what's happened over our last 4 years. It's been crazy, but I'm going to say it fast because it's got to give you something to kind of work with of where I come from in my life of coming from California here. You see, 4 years ago, our daughter Lizzie had a tumor removed from her tibia. Still having issues, lots of pain, testing, 6 months, we discover she also has psoriatic arthritis. Painful recovery, surgery, further tests to see if she has cancer, eclipses, oh yeah, right, her sister's engaged, whoops. And the week of the wedding, we're at Children's Hospital, I buy my mother of the bride dress the week of the wedding. It is just like, go in, buy it off the rack, and go move on. Because Anna Lynn gets married, the week of the wedding, we find out Greg's mom has cancer. After the wedding, we lost his mom. Anna Lynn's pregnant. Hooray, we finally have good news. What? The Lord says move to Arkansas? That's Australia, right? Arkansas, Lord, hello. My baby is coming. Oh no, we give our notice in California. Greg gives us notice. And before starting our new job, we get the news. My husband has stage 4 thyroid cancer. He has surgery. We move Greg. Baby's born. Baby is a failure to thrive baby. She doesn't know how to suck and swallow. So now we're back on our knees, pleading with the Father, with little tiny bottles that drip, drip, drip. I mean, it was something. My mom's dementia gets worse. Anna Lynn then has severe acute pancreatitis, worst case scenario. Every organ in her body is affected. Because of all that and all the trials that we went through that, she can't eat for 6 months. She has a bag hooked up to her to give her food. Greg does radiation out here in Arkansas alone, which means he fixed himself some soup, threw it in the freezer because he had to do radiation because I'm back there with the baby. He can't even fly to say goodbye to his daughter because we think we're going to be losing because he's had radiation. He can't fly when he had radiation. So I move in with Lizzie, my 13-year-old, with some friends for 6 months, move my daughter in with another family. And then Greg's dad, while my daughter's in the hospital, Greg's dad gets diagnosed brain cancer. Greg's sister's supposed to come out and help out with Greg after radiation. Oh, she's got breast cancer. And then she has open heart surgery. 3 months later, we move Lizzie to Arkansas, get her, you know, send a kid to another state, to a new school while they're in high school. I mean, you know what was going on in this poor child's life? Then this child, you know, she's still got scars. She doesn't have feeling in that leg anymore. That's gone. So day after, so I drive, get her settled, get my daughter to a point where she can go back and live with her husband, because where they lived in the mountains was an hour and a half from the nearest hospital, so I had to take care of her and her baby. She couldn't lift her baby for 6 months. Can you imagine not being able to hold your own baby for 6 months? So I drive from California to Arkansas. The day after I arrived to Arkansas, my mom has a seizure, breaks her back. Remember, she has dementia. Weeks later, her colon ruptures. So they say emergency surgery. You either do the surgery because she's going to die an extremely painful death if you don't. But if you do, it's kind of like she's probably going to die during surgery. So this is your choices. Okay, on my knees, we pray. We get a little break. We have a summer at Siloam, which means we work from 8 in the morning until midnight, and we love it. We love summer camp. But, you know, it's not like it's a vacation when you work there. Get through that. My special needs brother, who I love dearly, has a heart attack. He's in a coma. I'm on the next flight out. He passes away. We notice our youngest brother's trembling. Now, we all have these tremors, but my youngest brother's like this. We look at him and we say, okay, you're going to the doctor. He goes, oh, no, it's the tremors. We say, no, you're going to the doctor. We get a misdiagnosis that it's Parkinson's, find out he has brain cancer. And then I forgot. Lizzie, we find out, has ventricular tachycardia. She's got heart issues. She's on a heart monitor. All this is going on in the last basically 3 years. Ladies, I looked to heaven and said, what in the world? Lord, what is going on with you? I mean, really, you're the good shepherd. But you know what? I couldn't have done it without the good shepherd. I couldn't have walked through any of this. I did not want any of this. I did not desire any of this. And yet the Lord knows. He knows, and he is trustworthy. I couldn't breathe without him. I couldn't. He carried me through this. I'd wake up every morning and not even know what that day would take. You know, we had to tell people, do not come to the hospital if my daughter gets anything. Any kind of bug, we will lose her. The first doctor left her to die. He walked out and just left her to die. And then the second doctor came in to help us. So, ladies, we think this is bad. Jesus lays his life down for us. Jesus laid his life down for us. I'm going to share you something that this is Jesus. This is Jesus. We think we're something. We're sheep. We're not the shepherd. This is our Jesus. Who is our Jesus? He is obedient. He is meek. He is tempted. He was oppressed. He was despised. He was rejected. He was betrayed. He was condemned. He was reviled. He was scourged. He was mocked. He was wounded. He was bruised. He was stricken. He was smitten. He was crucified. He was forsaken. He is merciful. He is faithful. He is holy. He is undefiled. He is separate. He is perfect. He is glorious. He is mighty. He is justified. He is exalted, and he is risen. Amen, ladies? That is our Jesus. That is our Jesus. Our light, our little trials that we go through, they're nothing. They're nothing that he hasn't experienced, and he walks through them with us. I know we all, you know, we're getting ready to get for the next holidays. I'm going home for Christmas, probably seeing my brother for the last time. He's still not a believer. I am sharing everything I got. I'm on my knees with everything I got for glory. But that's, he's in the custody and the comfort. The good shepherd sees what's going on. I don't know if he's in that other pen that the Lord's talking about. He may be in the pen that the Lord's going to call him. But the Lord is good, and that is the best thing I can tell you, is nothing that is his can be snatched away. Amen. Nothing that, not through death, not in life, nothing. He is our filter, and through his filter, though his filter is higher than ours, always remember, he is not one of us. He is not a sheep. He is a shepherd. And always remember that this is not our world. This, although life begins here, this is not our world. We have an eternal home, and Jesus is preparing that eternal home for us. Please have confidence in him. You know, I go back to that Radiant Retreat, and I think about that counselor, this woman who shared the good news so often, and yet she didn't have that security in herself. I worry about that about us. Sometimes we get so involved in this walk that we forget the personal relationship with our Lord. I'm going to ask you to do something that we don't do often, but I think we should do it occasionally. I'm going to ask you to bow your heads and talk. Let's talk to Jesus right now. I mean, it is all about him. If there's anything you're holding on to, that you're angry at him about, it's time to talk to the Good Shepherd. And just put your hand up. You don't know how many times I just had to put my hand up and say, it's yours, Lord. So if you want to raise your hand and just say, it's yours, Lord, you don't have to tell us what it is. But tell him. It's yours. I'm giving it to today. If you have something that you lack forgiveness for someone else, just hand it up to the Lord and say, you know what? It's yours. I'm going to trust you through this because you're bigger than I. You are a shepherd. We are sheep. If there's something for you to take from him and trust Jesus in, I am asking you now, trust the love he has for you and say, Lord, I'm going to receive it. I know I'm not good enough. But as your child, I've got the name. I've got the name. I'm in the family. And I can have this. It's okay. Stop fighting what the enemy is speaking in our voices. Some of us are hearing that you're not pretty enough, you're not good enough, you were immoral when you were young, you stole things when you were young, you lied. You know what? Jesus washes that away. And when he washed it away, he meant it. And so I'm asking, now, for each of us, because we all have stuff. We have stuff with our spouses. We have stuff with our children. We have stuff with our parents. Some of us are taking care of our parents, and it's rough. Some of us are taking care of our children, and we thought they were going to run and play, and they're not running and playing. Some of us thought that we were going to be empty nesters, and we're raising grandkids. Some of us thought that we were going to have kids, and the Lord said no, not biologically. But you could have spiritual children. So I'm asking you, walk in confidence. Because it's real, this relationship, I want you to have a pure Thanksgiving. I want you to have a Thanksgiving that you understand. So I'm going to pray now as you think about those things. Go ahead and lift your hand and give them to the Lord and take and receive what is yours. So I'm going to pray now for you. And ladies, If there is any part that you're holding, please give it to Jesus. If there's anyone here, because we don't do this enough, that you've walked on your own steps a long time and you need to come back to the fold, come back. Come back. He's worth it. And Jesus, I'm going to pray right now and ask you, these are your ladies. Your gate is open. Come in, you say. You told us this week, come in. And you also said that we hear your voice. I know you're talking to some ladies here this morning, Lord. I know you're talking. And I ask that each of us would lift our hands high and give you the nonsense that we've been carrying. And each of us would lift our hands high and receive what you have for us. And I ask that we would have one of those holy, pure Thanksgivings where it really doesn't matter how the table looks, but it matters who's at the table, and that you're the leader of this table, and that the family knows it's yours, Jesus, that we thank, that it is you we thank. Jesus, I pray over each of these women as they prepare this week that you would be their guide, that they would share with others this divine leadership that you have. I pray that each of these women will know and see how beautiful they are because they're gorgeous. And I look at them, and you know, Laura does have one benefit that we don't have. She gets to look on me every week. And if you are beautiful, this is a beautiful group, and you're his daughters. Lord, I ask that we would receive that. Sometimes I shoo it away thinking I'm not pretty enough and I'm not good enough or I'm not of the right family or I say the wrong things. But Lord, I know you love me just as we love our children and our parents. You love us even more because you're higher. Your ways are higher than ours. Lord, it's in your name as the Good Shepherd we come. We come to you as the Good Shepherd. And we thank you for the blessings you've given us. We thank you for the forgiveness of our sins. Lord, we thank you that you call our name. We can come in the pen, and you lead us, and you lead gently those with young. Thank you, Lord, that you are a gentle leader. It's in your holy, holy name we pray, Lord Jesus. Amen. Thank you, ladies. Thank you so much, ladies, for giving me the privilege to be here today. Thank you for loving on me, welcoming my family. Arkansas. It is a pretty amazing place here, and we love it. Thank you so much.